the Rebel Alliance Briefinger, please visit our website, https://rabr.kaileJohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Yes, Star Wars. Sorry, I'm wearing my Monarchs jersey today. Scott and Rick aren't able to be with us today. They're both busy with family stuff. Scott's got a his Boy Scout family has got some dealing with, and then Rick's visiting family. So we're by ourselves today. Yay! Today we're reviewing Star Wars Acolyte Season 1, Episode 4, called Day. We're going to do an unboxing, and then we'll discuss the episode, go through all the directors and actors and stuff, and do a detailed walkthrough of the entire episode. And then we'll come back and beg you for feedback, like this. Feedback. The most easiest way to give us feedback is through our email at feedback@kylejohansson.us. There'll be a link over here on the video for social media. And there'll be a link on the right-hand side of the website for feedback there. And you can give us comments on pretty much everywhere our video is posted, which YouTube is the major location. So give us that feedback. Yay, so we're starting the show. That applause means we're going to do hopefully an unboxing here, so bear with me. Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings. All right. Yeah. Again, with the applause. Here's our box. Got another one of these warning boxes sealed up. Yep. Uh-huh. Let's get it going. Dang, I need a chop saw here. I need to sharpen this thing. It's not actually sharp. Now the top. Here we go. Oh, that one's revealing. Didn't mean to show you that much, but you probably won't know who it is anyway. It says DJ 207. Let's get close. I don't know if you recognize this guy from the sequel movies, I believe. Look, it was exclusively sold at GameStop. Let's go to this side. Here we go. DJ. There's his profile. He's got a little metal thing there. Does that still not tell you who he is? He's got some sort of thing in his arm. Aluminum foil, maybe? Anyway, here's the back. Again, like I said, this is the sequel series. During the First Order time. And here's the side. DJ 207 in the top. Ah! Anyway, so this DJ guy, so you guys are aware, let me read you a little something so as soon as you hear it, you'll realize you saw him already and didn't know he was worthy of bobblehead, I guess. But this is obviously human, And he, at the time of the resistance evacuation of the base of Qatar, DJ was residing on the planet Canotenica, where he used his skills to steal money from wealthy patrons of the Canto Blight Casino City. If you remember in one, we go to Canto Blight and, you know, they end up getting captured as they try to break into the casino or something, or after they broke into the casino. And he's in the jail cell with Finn and Rose. You know, Finn and Rose are in there talking and fighting, and then all of a sudden this guy chimes in and they didn't even realize he was there. And he offers his skills as a code breaker, which this guy is, they refer to those kind of individuals, let's say, not too trustworthy, but kind of hacker type of people, called slicers. They're slicing into a system or slicing into a location, basically trying to break in with through security and stuff. So he offers to infiltrate the First Order flagship Supremacy, you know, Kylo Ren's vessel. And he ends up saving himself after he's captured by Phantasma and her stormtroopers. So she, so then the First Order pays him to deliver, you know, our main characters, Finn and Rose, and the whole gang. So anyway, that's him, and that's our unboxing. Yeah. Here I am back. Yay. So again, we're starting with Acolyte Season 1, Episode 4, called Day. The director was Alex Garcia Lopez. Writer was Claire Kitchell and Cor Adana. Seems like the same editor every time so far. No, it's been different. So this one is Micah Luskin. And that is one we've seen frequently. Not every time, but frequently. And of course, the score, the music, is always by Michael Ebels. All right, so our cast of our show. Sorry, I'm messing with the camera too much. I'm just trying to get it on there so it's I'm right there with you guys. I don't like it sometimes when it looks like I'm looking off, which I'm doing now, but I'm looking off camera as much, so trying to make it look like I'm right here with you guys. Anyway, Alex Garcia Lopez was the director. Michael Ebels was the music scorer. Let's get to the cast. Master Soul, Lee Jun Jay. Master Kalaneka, Jonas Sutomo. And then we have May and Osha, both played by Amandla Steinberg. Jackie Lone, played by Daphne Keene. Q Amir, played by Manny Chinico. Jackinoto, I don't know, I'm having all kinds of troubles pronouncing names today. Yord by Charlie Bartlett. Master Lecashay was Paul Bullion. Master Holden was Indira Ove. And Master Kai Alda Munde was Derek Arnold. Some of those, you know, we're in the past, 130 some years before the Battle of Yavin, and probably about 100 years before the Clone Wars, maybe a little bit more. And if you remember, Master Kal Alda Munde was in the arena. He's the same guy with the really tall cone head kind of look. He was killed in the arena at when the Clone Wars supposedly started. And then we had another Jedi Knight, Louis Young. And again, Acolyte episode 4 Day was first aired on June 18th. It was 35 minutes long, and 132 was before the Battle of Yavin is our timeline, which means this episode's back with the same time as the first episode. So what that means is it's time to grab a beverage, pull up your chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. All right. We're here. We made it. Yay. We start off at the Wookiee Jedi Kalanuka is walking through the forest on Kofar to his house or shelter. And his shelter kind of looks like maybe a ship of some sort. Anyway, Kalanuka chops meat and adds them to herbs in a pot of stew. On the wall of the shelter lies three concentric circle symbols. One of them, kind of like Rick pointed out to me earlier, kind of looks like a yin-yang on at least one of them, maybe two of them. And then we see some circles later that are the same circles that is on May's head and some of the witches that we saw in the previous episode. Anyway, so we move on at the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Jeki Lon and several other Padawans train with Styx under the tutelage of the bearded Jedi Master Lickishay. Lickishay drills his students on the arts of combat, reminding them to maximize their defenses without the need to strike. Osha Anishay watches from the outside of the class as a beacon chimes to mark the end of the class time. The master dismisses the class before leaving, and Lickishay asks to see Daro and Renee's opening stance before they leave. Osha speaks with Lon, telling her that she came to say goodbye and thanks her for helping her find her sister, Meho Anise, and helping to clear her name so she doesn't go to prison. That would be bad, right? So she wants her name cleared. Osha is relieved to learn that her sister is alive, and Lon says that she figured that Osha would stay until they captured her. Osha replies that May is now the Jedi's problem and says that she is not a Jedi. Lon sends a playful wink when she asks Osha if she will miss her. Lon says Osha cares about May and mourns the years of separation. Osha accepts that someone needs to find May. She plans to leave Coruscant, but promises to meet up with Lonnie next time they return to talk about Master Cole, Soul. Right. Later, a twin boom starship with separate compartments known as the Exile 2 lands on the clearing on Kofar. May and Kumar unload supplies from several rectangular bins. Not sure why they didn't unload them on the ship, but that's weird to me. May prepares to depart, but Kumar advises her not to go alone, while understanding her desire to find the exclusive Kalanuka. When May asks if Kumar traveled into the forest at the behest of their master, Kumar replies that he risked his life to help her, not just him, apparently. Kumar tells May that she needs him and offers her a flask. While Osha is alive, Kumar says that this does not change her arrangement with her master. Osha says that they should be getting. Kumar says they should be getting going because. May says they should be getting going because they have 3 hours of sunlight left. The two cross a footbridge leading into the forest. At the Jedi Temple, several Jedi in white and gold robes gather around a hologram of May in combat. the female Jedi Master Holden says that May is fast but weak since her emotions guide her combat movements. Kai Aldamundi observes that May displays skills, while Master Soul says that someone has trained her. When the female Jedi asks who, Soul replies that May does not know the identity of her master but fears him. Holden wonders if they are dealing with a splinter order or something worse. When the male Jedi warns that May could become a major threat, Soul replies that she is not disciplined. Master Vernesta Roe counters that May eluded him and killed two Jedi Masters. The hologram displays three images of Indira, Torben, and Kalaneka, with the former two marked in red. Roe says that May is targeting Soul and these three Jedi because they were stationed on her home world of Brendok when she was a child. Roe believes that May was taught by a Jedi based on her observations of May movements in the hologram. Kala Aldamundi suggests informing the Jedi High Council, and Roe advises against that because High Council would be obliged to inform the Galactic Senate, which would lead to scandal and mistrust. Secret Jedi Council inside of the Council. Roe advises the Jedi to deal with the matter themselves. She orders Master Holden to extract Kalaneka from the post on Kofar and intercept May. When Holden asks what to do if May does not come peacefully, Rose says they will be expecting violence. She adjourns the meeting and exits the room. Master Soul follows Roe into the corridor and pleads with her. He says, "Hey, hey, let me go." And Rose says, "Hey, what? Why didn't you tell me about this? What's going on?" And he says, "I didn't know." And she says, "No, I'm talking about 17 years ago, 16 years ago, how May survived." And he kind of says, "Well, she fell down the hole. That's a deep hole. Who could have survived that?" I guess he didn't realize that maybe she had the force with it. She could have suspended herself before she fell or something. Anyway. In the presence of other Jedi, Soul pleads with Roe, allowing him to bring May into custody. Roe disagrees due to his emotional and personal connections to Osha and May. Soul says that May's objective is not solely her own. Roe agrees, opining that May is part of a larger plan by her master. She thinks that it is something that'll tip the scales. Soul warns that if Holden kills May, the knowledge of her master will be lost to them. And he says that May will not surrender without getting something in return. Roe asks if they have something, and Saul nods. So tipping the scales, that's foreshadowing right there. All right. So we go back to Kofar. While walking through the forest, Kumar and May discuss the Master's command to kill the Jedi without a weapon. Kumar asks if this means he can engage in unarmed combat while using her lightsaber to disarm them. He asks if this is cheating, since he reasons that he failed to carry out this order during her previous assassination attempts. May responds that she didn't fail to kill Indira and Torben. Kumar counters that she killed them her way and did not follow her master's command to the letter. May asks Kumar what kind of deal he made with the master. Kumar denies the deal with the master and says that the master collects people. When Ray asks if he's seen his face, Kumar says he doesn't. She knows he hasn't. They reach the edge of the towering forest, which Kumar describes as the perimeter. May is unhappy that her sister Osha is with the Jedi and asks Kumar what she was like. Kumar says that Osha seemed to not have understanding of her situation and that she is attached to a particular Jedi master. She doesn't have an understanding of May's situation. Kumar faces the dark. Kumar's face darkens, prompting Kumar to say that that they need to continue their hike. Two assassins continue their hike through the narrow ridge. While Osha is walking through the hallway of the Jedi Temple and chatting with Pip, Sol calls her out, saying that Jekia told him that she had left. Osha apologizes for leaving without saying goodbye. Sol asks Osha to accompany him on the mission to hunt Mei. Osha asks if Sol is recruiting her back to the Jedi Order before concluding that he needs her help to find Mei. Sol explains that he needs her to find Mei, explaining not getting her back into the Jedi. He told Mei that Osha is still alive, and her eyes soften. Sol says that Mei has potential to become a different person than she is right now, because her eyes soften. She lit up basically when he said, Osha is alive. Sol explains that the Jedi will not allow him to hunt for Mei if Osha comes. The mission will not let him to hunt unless Osha comes on the mission. Sol says he does not want to harm Mei and believes that if there is still there, that there is still good in her. Osha replies that Mei is not a murderer. Sol counters that she is still her family, and Mei reflects silently and agrees to come to, but says that she will not wear a civilian robe. While traveling through hyperspace, Osha is dressed in a gray civilian outfit aboard the Jedi starship. Jedi Knight Yord briefs Osha and several other Jedis, including Lon. He says the Jedi Order stationed Master Kalanika on Kofar, but nobody has heard from him for over a year. Kalanika has not responded to any of their transmissions. Pip attracts the attention of a small furry Tyan, which, according to the link I have here, let's get some more information, because I was confused about this creature too, but Tyran is a species of furred and buck-toothed aquatic sentience from the planet Tyan. Basil was a Tyan tracker who lived during the High Republic era. A number of Tyans fought against the Imperial military during the campaign of the Salient. The species as a whole had an aptitude for bureaucracy, which was put to good use. So, you know, they just believed in participating. This particular one as a tracker. All right, so annoyed, the droid sprays water at the furry alien. Osha apologizes before asking Lon about the scout, about the identity of the alien. Lon explains that the Tyran is named Basil, and that he is with them. Yord asks Osha if she has any questions. You have any questions, civilian? That's what he says. And Osha says that she does not have questions and says his briefing was very comprehensive. She enjoyed it great, basically. The Jedi starship exits hyperspace and undocks from its rear hyperdrive in an engine unit. The Jedi descend into the forested world of Kofar. Amidst a fog, a Jedi starship lands in a grassy clearing. Later, Jekki speaks to the humanoid alien through a translator droid, explaining that they are looking for a Wookiee Jedi. Sol and the other Jedi wait nearby. Yord notices that Osha is having a blaster in her holster and requests that she return it immediately, describing it as property of the Jedi Order. Osha says it's hers, but if Yord insists, you can come take it, basically. Before the argument can escalate, Lon returns from her meeting and reports that the locals say that Kalaneka ventured into the forest and to never return. And it seems like they kind of got upset, but they kept on asking questions, like, leave me alone. Rawr! The guy kind of had an attitude at the end there. Solo looks into the far distance, into the forest below the cliffs, and he tells the Jedi that he can sense that Kalanick is inside the forest. When Osha asks how they can find him, Solo explains they have a tracker. Yord hands a sample of clothing with Kalanick's scent to Basil. Basil leads the Jedi through a narrow pathway down a hill into the forest. During the walk, Osha asks if Fandor or Yord can understand what Basil is saying, and Yord replies that he can because he spent his free time learning a more nuanced alien language than the Shiwook most Padawans study. When Osha asks if Yord is upset about having her join the mission, the Knight responds that he is concerned about her safety. The two hang back as the other Jedi proceed. Osha tells Yord that Solo believes that Mei can be saved. Yord responds that Solo thinks that Mei can be saved. Mei will listen to him. And Osha warns that if Mei is unwilling to listen, Yord needs to prepare to stop her. Osha says that she won't be able to kill her and says that she can't hesitate a second time. Yord is sympathetic to Osha's concerns, but thinks that Sol brought Osha here to face him herself. Elsewhere, Mei and Kumar reach the gully at the end of the path. They find the path obstructed by a giant tree. The two go around the structure, wading through ferns and plants, reaching the opening under the tree. This leads into a thicker forest. Meanwhile, Basil leads the Jedi party through a section of the forest where the trees have been big lumps growing from their trunks. Basil says there is something rotten about the trees, with Yord translating. Sol advises the Jedi party to keep the volume down and avoid trouble. Osha touches one of the lumps until Leki tells her to move on. After she moves, the lump is revealed as a large scaly predator. She sees slime where the lump was and sees movement in the trees. Osha calls out to Sol and says, hey, there's something up there. The Jedi look up and see a giant moth-like creature known as an Umbra moth approaching her. Sol draws his blue lightsaber and faces it down by the descending winged Umbra moth. He slices through the creature with his lightsaber. Osha notices the creature is drawn to the lightsaber. Sol says that the Umbra moth was drawn to the light and tells the Jedi party they have to keep moving. Osha and the Jedi leave the forested section with the hibernating moths. The Jedi hike through the tunnels created by the trees. Yord leads the group, following by Osha, Lorne, and Lorne. Osha says she could sense the creature and regrets that it died during their encounter. Leki replies that it is an honor for something to be transformed into the Force. Leki notices that Osha has experienced more death than she has. Osha says she struggles to accept death and the resentment from her separation from her sister. Leki reassures Osha that she is not defined by what she has lost, but rather what she has survived. She touches Osha's arm and asks her and says that she's gone through a lot. The landscape shot of the mountains and surrounding forest, Kumar leads Mei through the jungle, saying that Kalnekia's hut is 10 minutes away. We're almost there. Mei sits on a rock, saying that she has to rest. She'd been running this whole time. She needs to rest. May says she needs to rest up because she's going to be fighting Kalanuki, a big Wookiee. She tells Kumar that her confrontation with Kalanuki is not a test, recalling the master's words that your final lesson is one you teach yourself. You will kill a Jedi without a weapon. May struggles with the notion of having to kill someone without a weapon due to the Jedi's teachings against attacking those who cannot defend themselves. Kumar reassures her that her test is not impossible. May drinks from her flasks and then surmises that her test is impossible and fears that the master will kill her for failing. When May accuses Kumar of not caring for her, he offers her some more water and tells her she needs to rest because she is losing her nerve. Kumar leaves and May looks at the surroundings and resumes her journey. But if you notice, she pulls out a rope from her bag. We'll find out why later. As dusk approached, the Jedi find their tie-in guide, Basil, has disappeared. Yordur grumbles about the reliability of Basil before updating Sol on the situation. Meanwhile, Kumar hears May's cries and runs to help her. He steps on a booby trap and is caught in a rope. And I think here at the same time, the Jedi can hear May screaming too. In a rope and leaves him hanging from his leg from a tree upside down. May resurfaces from the trees as she was hiding, like she was waiting for him. And she was. Kumar calls for help, and May tells Kumar that she doesn't need to follow her master's commandment to kill a Jedi without a weapon because Osha being alive changes everything. May says that she is loyal to Osha and not Kumar's master. When Kumar asks what she is doing, May replies that she intends to surrender herself to Kalanuka and the Jedi Order. Kumar says that the Jedi will put her in prison. You'll be in prison, which I guess is a really bad thing. May says they won't after she tells them what she knows. When Kumar warns the master will kill her, May says that he will have to find her first. And doubts he'll be able to navigate through the jungle without a guide. May tells Kumar that he has outlived his usefulness for her and leaves him hanging. Meanwhile, the Jedi reach a grove but find no sign of Basil or May. Sol gazes at a tropical foliage in the distance. And Osha asks, he says it's nothing. Osha asks why Sol did not let her confront May. And Osha thinks that she will be able to face May, but Sol tells her that he is not going to. She is going to face her past instead. He says that once they have gotten May safely onto the ship, he will explain everything. So he's going to force her to remember her past and stuff. Which, I mean, whatever. Elsewhere, May sees Kalneka's hut in the distance. As she approaches the hut, she trips over some pods which release orange pollen. As the dust settles, she encounters the Tyran guide Basil. May greets Basil, but he squeals in fear and shock, attracting the attention of the Jedi. May runs past Basil and heads towards the hut. Sol leads the Jedi towards the location of Basil's cries. And Yord tells Osha to wait from behind. May enters Kalanuka's hut as the Jedi approach. Inside the hut, she finds the Wookiee Jedi slumped in front of a console. As she approaches Kalanuka, she finds him dead with a lightsaber gash across his chest. May realizes her master is here, and everything gets dark in the hut. It says here the night settled, but it's more like darkness is coming. As night falls, the Jedi surround the space between the two lanterns at the front of Kanaka's hut. Osha watches from behind. Soul demands that anyone inside the domicile come out with their hands raised in the name of the Galactic Republic and the Jedi Order. Yor demands that Mei surrender. Mei gazes nervously through a hole in the door. Soul turns his back towards Osha. Turns back towards Osha as a dark shape settles behind his former Padawan. The other Jedi turn to face the stranger. Osha turns to gaze at the dark, cloaked figure wearing a helmet with granulated jaw guard. As the stranger approaches, Osha, Saul, and Phandar demand the figure stand down. Mei watches nervously from inside the hut as the helmeted figure studies Osha and draws its red lightsaber. And I don't know, I kind of thought in this moment that helmet was much bigger than it needed to be. Like it was heavy and burdensome for the person to have. So anyway, in response, the Jedi draw their lightsabers and charge at the stranger. The stranger uses his force powers to flick. He just kind of goes tink, tink. And Osha goes flying off to the side. And then he hurls the Jedi away, stirring up a cloud of dust. And then we see the credits roll. Credits roll. Credits roll. Yay. Episode over. All right, so what did you guys think of that episode? It was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. It was action-packed. Let's see. I got some stuff that Rick sent me. Let's see what he said. He said, I'm not going to be able to join today, but the Lord is a he. Someone called him a he or a him or something like that. Doesn't trust Mei and wants both girls together, the master that, you know, when they were talking with Kumar. I'm not sure why yet. I don't think Kumar is the Lord. Why a sudden change in heart from Mei running to the Wookiee to turn herself in? And I personally don't think it was a sudden change. I think it was something she'd been thinking about, you know, based on the questions she'd been asking. She just didn't reveal it, because she doesn't really trust Kumar, nor would I. I mean, he kind of is fishy, right? So, he says overall, this is a great start to the series. Four episodes in, and there's plenty of action, plenty of details, plenty of, mystery. And he says the naysayers can suck it. He doesn't care about, you know, witches being gay and showrunner being gay. He just says it's a good show and you guys should just watch it and understand. And I agree. A lot of those people that are saying how bad the show is are just looking for clickbait. They're not really, you know, they don't really know what they're talking about. They probably didn't even watch the entire episode. They just watched enough to type up something on the internet, you know, cliff notes and such. So I don't think so. I think the big, you know, I think myself that Kumar is the master. Cause how did the master get there so quickly? You know, maybe he was following, but you know, why would he do that? He's got Kumar to tell him what's going on, if he needs it. So I think Kumar's and the master are the same person. You know, if you notice the master, he was kind of small and lanky and not very tall. He was barely taller than Osha, which is about the size of Kumar. You know, and like I said, the helmet seemed to be extremely big for the size of the person. It wasn't Mei because Mei was inside, and it wasn't Osha because Osha was right there. You know, it could be Menestra, like I was saying at the beginning of the first episode, but I don't think so. We still don't hear the master say anything except for what we did on the first episode, which kind of sounded, like a husky voice of some sort. And I think, his master plan is not to necessarily kill the Jedis, but it's to get Mei and Osha on the same page and get maybe Osha back to using her force powers. Probably because he believes that twins with force powers are very, very powerful together. More that they work together with them together, the better in the long run. So, I kind of said last episode in the end there where I think it's going to be a duality thing, kind of like what we saw in those sequels, with Rey and Kylo, where they were a force dyad, which made them stronger together. I think that's what this guy is doing, is he's going to use them to be even more powerful. I've seen some rumors online where this guy is maybe like the master of Palpatine's master. So this is Darth Plagueis's master. We don't know that for sure because we don't know really who the guy is yet. But from they're looking at different material and stuff that's out there and trying to decipher and figure out who it is, and they think it's Plagueis's master, which I can't remember what that his name was. So we want as much of your feedback as possible.
Feedback at kylejohansen.us. kylejohansen.us.
That's right. That's an email address you can send an email to. We have a link on our website on the right hand side. There's actually two links that you can use. One of them's for social media. We're on X/Twitter. Where our name is called @super_duper_pod. We're on the Blue Sky Network at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. There is a link over there that you can click to fill out a feedback form and it'll come to us. And we're on several platforms that have video, and Spotify would be one, and then you've got YouTube, and also now on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, we've got audio and video there. I've set up two separate feeds so we can have both on iTunes. Hopefully having that on iTunes will attract more people because there's maybe not as many audio pod or video podcasts as there are audio, especially since audio podcasts have been around forever and they're easiest to do. Not anymore with YouTube, I guess, but especially the way we do it through Zoom. If I had a Teams subscription, I'd probably do it through Teams too. It's pretty nice with Zoom because Zoom gives you three files. It gives you a transcript, it gives you an audio file, and it gives you a video file. So you can basically edit those audio or video files and submit them separately. It's really nice. So send us the feedbacks. We would really appreciate it. And we want as much feedback as possible. Any feedback, send us how we don't know what we're talking about. Send us your opinions about the episodes. Send us how you hate everything to do with this series. Just send us something because we kind of need some feedback since we've never had any. Well, since no one else is here to join me, I'm by myself, not complaining. We're going to end the episode.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us.
Everything is there.
This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of the past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited.
Thank you very much.
I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.
Just me today. No Andrew, no Rick. We thank you for joining us. Hopefully you can send us some sort of feedback. We look forward to the next episode because it's getting very exciting and we need to find out who the master is. And we look forward to finding out with you guys. Thank you very much.